Wisdom's benefits. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 11 is our text for our consideration. We said that we ought to be diligent in the seeking of the things of God, because these are the things that count and last for eternity. How do we quantify value? I submit to you that what is truly valuable must be able to last, a lasting value. What is truly precious and valuable must be able to last the the vicissitudes of time. And we submit to you that it is the Word of God that is able to stand the test of time and space and calamity, everything, because it comes from the mind of the Creator. Imbibing God's Word will protect us from the consequences of folly. What we do now has repercussions and implications that last for eternity, for ourselves and for our loved ones. God has made us an eternal being, and life does not end when this earthen vessel perishes. The decisions and the paths we take in this life has eternal consequences. We are faced with choices daily to choose to go here, to go there, to do this, to do that. Just this week, or just last week, at the beginning of last week, when we concluded our service, there was a brother and sister who were with us and said to us at the fellowship hall, "Will you go and see my brother? My brother is stricken with cancer in the hospital." And so an appointment was made, and we visited him on Monday at 2 p.m. And we shared with him the gospel, which he has heard the week before. And there was an indication that he believed. The dear relatives were very concerned, because they understood the truth from the Word of God, that when a person dies, his soul's destiny is decided eternally forever. Eternal life or eternal death. He was on the brink of that separation, and he had to make a decision for himself. That was Monday, 2 p.m. We spent about 35 minutes with him. And we received a call again on Wednesday morning, the son said, "Can you come and see Father? He's scheduled to be discharged on Thursday in the morning." Yes. So we went, 2 p.m. We sang hymns and choruses to him, and he affirmed his faith. He was very happy, singing along with us, Chinese choruses, very happy, rejoicing in his newfound faith. And then on Thursday in the morning, after early morning prayer meeting, I receive a call from the son. "Father has gone home to be with the Lord." It was a shock for all of us, especially for the family. They rented a bed. They were trying to get all the things prepared. And mother was most devastated. Where did father go? Well, we said to her that he has made a choice for eternal life, and he is now in heaven. Mother said, I have not been good to be able to take care of him that well during this time. And I feel that there is that guilt that is in my heart. And so on Thursday in the afternoon or in the morning, we shared once again the gospel with her. And she came to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because she understood that in Jesus Christ there is relief from the guilt and penalty of sin. Vigil service on Thursday night, Friday night. He was buried at the Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, Christian Cemetery, on Saturday afternoon. And this morning, Mother came for our inaugural Mandarin service together with her son. Praise God for His mercy. The choices that we make has eternal consequences. Eternal life or eternal death. This man was struggling. As you speak to him, he was in pain and he was losing control of his faculty. He knew that it was critical, and he was struggling. All his life he was seeking to find the way to life. Well, he was trained in the Chinese university, the Nanta. And we shared that the Tao is Jesus Christ. And he understood, and he took hold of the wisdom of God. This is what we are saying here. If we have taken hold of God, we find the fear, we understand the fear of God, we find the knowledge of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And this wisdom came to him in the last days of his life. He was practically snatched out of darkness. You know, he was a leader in the Buddhist Association. Many, many others with him. And we had the opportunity to share the gospel with the group. How God was able to open the way for such a man to be saved, we cannot understand and explain until now. But what we see is the mercy of God coming upon this man. And he was willing during the last moments of his life to search and seek. And he found God in Jesus Christ. While you are seated here in the comforts of this auditorium, you may not see making a choice as such critical as what this man had experienced. Nonetheless, we said that if we have more time to think, all the more God give us grace that we may be able to choose rightly. It is my prayer that the fear of God and the knowledge of His will guide us in our choices today. The fear of God is most lacking today in this world before our Lord returns. We don't have a notion of God. We do not think that if you have done something wrong, you can choose to do what you want and there is no consequences to the things that we do. Although we may do wrong, and no one may see. But if you are a Christian, you know that there is a God in heaven who sees you. And you would be circumspect before you would make your choices. You would consider the consequences. You would think one time, two times, three times, 10 times. There are consequences to the choices that we make. And to have the wisdom of God is to learn the fear of God. How can we teach our children to flee from evil? Today, evil is, right inside the home, right? Through the handphone, through all the communication devices, evil proliferates itself. Preying on all who would be willing to be devoured. But if we were to teach our children the fear of God, and if the fear of God will be in their hearts, then they would think before they would press the button. That's the reason why Solomon wrote this Proverbs. Pithy sayings, easy to remember, very compact. You know the way the scripture is given, God's words. No excess words. Every word is significant. Every word is important, is valuable, has a purpose. And it behooves us to take the time to study it. And so how can we find that blessing, that benefit that God wants to give to you? The first thing, from verses 1 to 5, we said the means or the responsibility. And from verse 6 to 11, the manner and the result. The means, how can we obtain this benefit? Well, it's by diligent seeking. It is by diligent searching. Verse 1 says, my son, if thou would receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, this Solomon writes with four if-then statements, conditional statements, what we call conditions of reality. If you do this, then this will be the result. If you do according to God's instructions, then logically, this is what is going to happen. When we diligently study the Word of God, and we personalize the lessons with much prayer, then it will build in us a spirit of self-control, a restraining spirit, a resolute spirit to do what is right in the sight of God. The Bible says, keep the Sabbath day holy. If the fear of God would be in our hearts, then we would not plan for a party on Sunday. But we would plan to come to the house of God to worship Him. And that we would prepare to give the first fruits of our increase and bring it before the Lord in the fear of God. This is what Moses said to Israel before they entered the promised land. Every time you give, it is because you fear God. You know that God is the one who gives you all these things. If He withholds, you have nothing. We realize how precarious a situation we are in when we understand who God is and who we are. And so Solomon says, in order to benefit from God's word, God's wisdom, we are to diligently study it. We are to internalize the word of God. We have to know why we do what we do. We must have a reason. And God always gives us a reason why we do what we do. In a sense, well, He tells us that when we take one day in seven to worship Him, to rest, it is good for body and soul. Do you realize that? When you have a day of rest, the body is able to recharge itself. The wisdom of God, if you work 7 days without a break, well, you can do that for 1 week because of call of duty, urgent matters. But if you persist, then you find that you run against God's wisdom, and before long, you break down. Therefore, the Lord tells us how important it is that we would take hold of God and His wisdom. So Solomon says, "My son," this is the first Eve statement, "if thou would receive my words," if thou would receive my words, when we receive the word of God, we are receiving the mind of God. When we do so, well, our Lord is saying to us that as a filial son to our Heavenly Father, this is what you are to do. "My son, if thou would receive my words." And it's a big if our hearts are not quiet. You know, very often we are not still in our hearts. We cannot focus. And we are not quiet before God. We are not hushed before Him to read His word, to listen to His voice. The voices of this world, its cares, its demands are often so overwhelming, so tough to shut out. But the Lord says that we are to keep a day in seven so that we may have that time to be on the right footing. And this is what Solomon says to the son. "My son, if thou would receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Right. The word to hide means to treasure up. Practical wisdom for the purpose of life must be carried with us and be ready for use anytime. You know, there are those who tell you, you know, you may not need to remember everything. As long as you know where to find it, it's good enough. Well, I say to you, God's word says differently. Right? The fullness of knowledge is to have it deeply ingrained in our hearts. Not somewhere, you know, some knowledge out there which you can pull when you need. It's too late. When temptation comes, you are faced with a challenge, you have to make a decision. There's no time for that. Practical wisdom for the purposes of life must be carried about with us to be ready for use anytime. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He was physically, mentally, emotionally strained. 40 days, 40 nights. When we are in this condition, we lose our sense of self-control. We let our tiredness to take over, and we compromise for want of self-control and sense of mind. But it is not so for our Lord. And Solomon is saying to us that if you cultivate that discipline, that spiritual discipline to hide God's word in your heart. That's why we do memory verse. Do you take it seriously when we have a memory verse? Well, we say this, that God's word is to be written in the table of our hearts so that it can be called for use at any moment. And Solomon has written the book of Proverbs, this book of action, written in a very condensed manner in order to aid memory. And, you know, we have our devotional book for 1 year, written by Dennis Gibson, for you to take time to study. And, you know, one who studies and knows the Word of God is better than one with a university education. I believe he's more educated because that wisdom that God gives him not just wisdom to live this life, but for eternal life. And the universities of this world, do you know that they all begin as Bible colleges to train men and women in the Word of God? All the renowned universities in America, in England, they came about because they wanted to train men and women in the things of God, so that men and women may know God and find salvation for their souls. That was the purpose. But when men's pride came in the way, it loses its bearing. Christ went out of its windows, and that's it. That institution loses its life. Verse 2 says, "My son, if thou would receive my words and treasure up my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto understanding." To incline is to give attention, to set aside time, to free ourselves from the entanglement of this world that choke us. You know, there was a brother in Christ who felt that he was not progressing spiritually. And I invited him to have Bible study together. And we were supposed to meet at this time. And we said, and he called about an hour earlier and said, "Oh, I cannot make it. I cannot come." I said, "Unless you set priority to seek God in the study of His Word, you cannot grow spiritually." He agreed with me. And he tried to study and tried to come. And as he takes time to study the Word of God, how do you find that there is that spiritual strength that comes into the life? There is a restfulness in the heart, that ability to carry out things that was not possible before. God gave that wisdom. You know, there are athletes who train for competition. Their greatest fear is that they would face an injury. Because if they are injured, it means that they would fail, you know, to reach that stage of excellence in their sport. And injury will cripple them. And injury can cripple them and can cripple them for life. For the Christian, for our lives, sin can cripple us. Sin can cripple you and injure you from being the person that God wants you to be. When you're not careful, well, you can suffer a great injury and be crippled. So sin has that kind of a power, temptation and lure. And so the Lord tells us that we are to be careful and we are to take time in order to imbibe the wisdom of God's word so that you are faced with a situation, you would know God's wisdom will come to you and say, do this and not this. Go here and not there. You may apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. Verse 3 says, if you would receive the wisdom of God, and we said you cry after knowledge. Do you cry after knowledge? Do you have that kind of a... Do you realize, or do you come to a point of desperation in your life when you realize that you need God's wisdom or else you cannot move forward? I think it's important. Every crossroad in life, every major decisions in life, and for our young people, you make decisions of marriage partner, you make decisions for career, you make decisions for a course of study. Important decisions that last a lifetime. And you want to have that wisdom to make a choice that you know would stand you in good stead, not only now, but for eternity. And so the Lord tells us that if thou, God wants you, right, to make sure that you know that it is the will of God. And how do you know the will of God? The will of God is in the Word of God. If thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. You know, you want to mine gold. Wow, tough job. You get a whole ton of debris and, you know, you get just very little gold. A lot of work, little progress. But the gold that you receive is valuable. Right? Whatever that you would receive, you know, right, that is going to be able to help you to bring you somewhere. So, men and women, throughout human history, in every gold rush, they would spare no effort to seek after, to find their fortune. Solomon is saying here that this is a greater fortune than physical gold. This is a goal that would God's word is more precious, and it is more precious than physical gold. And he's asking us to take time to imbibe it, to learn it. If thou seekest her as choice silver, searchest for her as hid treasures. If this is what you would do, right, verse 5 of our text says, then shalt thou find understanding, the fear of God, and the knowledge of God. Right? As you read the Word of God, you listen to the lessons that men of God go through in life, then you see, yeah, indeed, this is what I must do. I must come and believe in Jesus Christ so that I will be pulled out of hell and on the way to heaven. I don't want to end up in hell. Hellfire, eternal torment, eternal separation from God. So here we said the means. How do you find this benefit that God is to give to you? Right? It's found in His Word. And we have to take time to learn it. And then the next thought from verse 6 to 11, the manner of the result. Right? You see, when we take time to study the Word of God, what God is going to do is that He Himself is going to give us the wisdom. Right, verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth Wisdom. You can learn all you want, but if God doesn't give to you, you won't receive it. You won't understand it. And so we have to realize that it is God who giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Moses' last instruction to Joshua was to take time to meditate on God's word, that his way will be prosperous, that he will have good success. God gave to Joshua the blueprint to take the city of Jericho. Right? Preposterous, but that was what God said. What did they have to do? Well, they are to march around silently, one round per day, 6 days. On the seventh day, do seven times and shout, and the wall will come tumbling down. The wisdom of God. Would you not follow if God gives you such a ridiculous strategy and it works? Well, it makes a fool of us, right? Yeah. But God wants us to see that we are fools before Him. Wisdom is with Him. And we think that we can be clever. Let us realize that we are not. And we cannot be. And here, verse 7 says, God not only gives wisdom and understanding, but he layeth out sound wisdom for the righteous. He layeth out. What does it mean? Well, he prepares your way, in other words. He layeth out sound wisdom for the righteous. He shows you the way to go, the path to take. And, you know, when the path is open before you, you have the Word of God before you, you know that, this is the way. And as you walk, right, you're going to find danger along the way. And God says, He is a buckler. The word buckler means He's a shield to them that walk uprightly. So if you have been diligently studying the Word of God and you have the desire to follow Him, the fear of God is with you, and you want to walk with Him, and you want to follow Him, well, He Himself will see to it that you would prosper. He will see to it that you would benefit from His wisdom. He will see to it that you will receive from Him what is needful for His well-being. He is a buckler or he is a shield to them that walk uprightly. And the Lord wants us to realize that He is the one who protects us. If He doesn't protect us, we would be in trouble. He sends His angels to surround us. Do you realize that? When your soul is in danger, when the evil one comes to tempt you, he sees to it that you would be protected. His word tells us that he will make a way of escape for you in every temptation. There is a way out. He will do something to help you. And this is the promise that Solomon tells us. Right? The manner by which you would receive your benefit. The manner by which you would receive God's grace. God's help. Right? He will see to it. You know, when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. The son, Isaac, came only at his old age. He waited 25 years for it. 25 years. And God said, sacrifice him. Bring him to Mount Moriah. And Abraham had to struggle in this obedience. So he went, and the Bible tells us how deliberately he did all the things. He prepared the altar. And where is the sacrifice? Abraham says, the Lord will see to it. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it that He will take care. He will provide you with a sacrifice. And that's life with God. If you would follow Him, you would walk with Him, He never fails you, and He never will. And this is the experience of God's people. He proved Himself faithful to you over and over and over again. You can test Him, and you will find Him faithful every time. That's the God who has created us. A lot of assurance, right? Yeah. This is what the Lord wants us to have. And He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth, verse 8 says, the way of His saints. So wonderful is it, isn't it? He's there taking care of you, omnipotence, omniscience, with you. What privilege! And He tells you that, you know, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Come for worship. Come for prayer meeting. Do your devotion. Do what you need to do. We are given the Lord's Prayer. And last year, in the last 2 months, we were studying the Lord's Prayer. And one of it is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you pray this prayer? Lord, keep me from temptation and deliver me from the attack of the evil one. Well, we ought to pray this prayer. Ask God to shield us. When you have been studying the Word of God, God's Word would have instructed you what you ought to do. And you will have sought the Lord. The human responsibility and the sovereignty of God are two tenets for human prosperity. God will do what He will do, but you do not neglect your part. God honored the simple faith of Daniel's three friends. You know, God said, do not bow to any idol. And Nebuchadnezzar built a big image and asked everyone to bow down to it. And his three friends knew that God says, no, don't bow down. And what happened? Well, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Would you dare to obey God? Or will you choose to obey God if it means that you're going to lose your life? Well, let us, of course, we said, it's easier said than done. But here, what God wants us to do is to obey Him. Come what may. Put faith first. Trust Him. And what happened when they went into the fiery furnace? The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose in haste and spake unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of a fire? Daniel 3, verse 24. And he answered the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God is with you in your trials, you know. If you are willing to stake your life with Him, He will be there to take care of you. God ordered the simple faith of this young man. All glory redound to Him. The Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ, manifested His presence to save and deliver these faithful ones. In the fiery furnace, they saw the glory of God. Verse 26 of Daniel chapter 3 says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the fiery, burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Such was the power of God's mercy demonstrated upon His children who honored Him. He is a buckler to them. He is a shield to them. It tells us, right, that God is real. So if you have read, if you studied the Word of God and you come to this devotion, then when you are faced with the challenge, do this or do this, would you disobey the commandment of God and bow down to this idol? Then you would have the strength in your heart to say, hey, Daniel's three friends didn't succumb. God protected them. I must not also. I must trust God. The same God who protected Daniel's three friends is the same God today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, verse 9 of our text says, shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment? You learn how to evaluate, and you learn how to pass a righteous action. And we have been studying on Wednesday, the beginning of the Hebrew nation. Now we are on the constitution, the giving of the constitution of the nation of Israel. How God gives these judgments. And as you study these judgments, you see how God makes decision. Ah. And this last Wednesday, we were studying about how we should treat our servants, or how we should treat our helpers. When God gave the judgments and the laws, He spoke about the Hebrew slaves first, how we are to treat them. And God gives a very appropriate, righteous, correct way in which we are to go about this. Wow! We learn it, and we understand how we are to treat the people around us. Equity. You know what is fair. Yea, every good path, when wisdom entered into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. See, you receive God's wisdom, you say, oh yeah, so good. This is what I ought to do, what I should do. Discretion shall preserve thee. That means you know, danger is ahead. Don't go that way. Protection is here. Do this. Go this way. Wisdom's benefits. The means, the manner, the responsibility, the result. May the Lord grant us wisdom to do His will and find His benefits. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and thank Thee for giving to us Thy wisdom. May Thou help us to be diligent students of Thy word. And Lord, give us the faith to obey Thy word and to trust Thee. As we obey Thee, we see Thy glory manifested in our lives. Lord, give us Thy Show us thy mercy. Shield us from every temptation and make a way of escape for us. And Lord, bless thy people with thy presence. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.